Well, it's all right. Riding around in the breeze. Well, it's all right. If you live the life you please. Well, it's all right.
Welcome to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. First show of the year. Happy New Year, Eric.
Happy New Year, Julie.
Good to have you back.
Good to be back.
Yeah.
Good to see you, and hope 2010's off to a great start for you so far.
So far, so good.
Awesome.
Yeah. So today's show, we're going to be opening the lines for callers to call in, listeners to call in with questions.
Listeners can become callers.
True.
If they use the numbers.
If they use the numbers. And those numbers are 425-373-5527 or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. If you have a question about your dog or, you know, dog behavior, dog training, dog food, we'd love to hear from you. So feel free to give us a call anytime this show, 425-373-5527 or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. So I've got a bunch of things to talk about, but it looks like we have a caller. We have Roy on the line who has a question, a dog-related question. So we're going to talk to Roy just right off the bat.
All right, great. Here's Roy.
Hi, Roy.
Hi, Julie.
Thanks for calling
taking in. My call.
Yeah.
So I live in Everett. We've had an ongoing several-year little sometimes battle challenge with my neighbors with some barking dogs. Right now, we're friendly as far as me and the neighbor, but there's three dogs. One's a pit bull, one's a Jack Russell Terrier, and I think the other one's a lab. And there's two challenges with the barking. One is inside, they get together and they kind of pack up and do the coyote thing most of the day, which is kind of bearable because at least it's indoors and the windows are usually closed. But when they get outside, the pit bull and the Jack Russell can be kind of yelpy and growling and stuff, and it's kind of annoying and loud. So I'm kind of wondering, you know, it's obviously it's really what she needs to do about it, but she says she can't afford right now to get anything done. So I offered to get one of those little noise things that, you know, when they bark, it doesn't hurt them, but hopefully silences them. So she gave me permission to do that, hanging on the fence, but I'm not sure if that's really the best choice.
Yeah. Do you know... So the dogs do it inside and outside?
Yeah, one of them seems to stay inside all the time, but the three of them howl pretty loud and bounce up against the windows and stuff during the day. And then outside, the two go out there and we'll do a lot of yipping and stuff.
Okay.
Not continuously, but...
Yeah. Do you know, do they get out for walks or, you know, that kind of thing? Do you witness that at all?
No, very, very little of that.
Okay. So, and... You know, unfortunately, in this situation, you know, really the solution is something for the owner to do, not you, but you're the one who's sort of left with the nuisance because you're the one listening to it. Do the dogs do it when she's home or just when she's out of town or when she's not at home?
Well, the indoor they do when she's away, only when she's away. And then even when she's home and they get out in the yard, they'll grind and yip and yelp a little bit.
Okay. And do they bark at things, or do they just sort of bark out?
It's hard to say. They certainly definitely bark at things. Like if I'm walking by the fence, it's kind of intimidating. The pit bull will be growling and yelping, and the other guy kind of yips at me and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, usually excessive barking is, I've talked about this before on the show, it's a pretty common thread with behavioral issues with dogs. But I've talked about the fact that dogs need to have an outlet for their energy, a constructive outlet. Otherwise, the energy has to go somewhere, so they will find a destructive outlet, usually, if left to their own devices. So things like excessive barking, destructive chewing, even anxiety and stuff like that can be a result of dogs not having an outlet for that energy. And it's both mental and physical. But, you know, the first thing I would say would be how much exercise are they getting? Because it sounds like they're kind of pent up. So they've just got all this energy that has to go somewhere. So they're going to bark and howl and rah and just, you know, it has to go somewhere. So, you know, she mentioned that She's on a budget, but the good news is walks are free. So, you know, maybe she can, you know, and you're in a tough spot because she's your neighbor and you don't know how receptive she'd be to you, you know, going over and telling her what she needs to do. But she really needs to get these dogs out for exercise. They're especially, you know, any breed really, but, you know, high energy dogs, larger breeds, you know, Jack Russell Terriers, even though they're small, are very high energy. Pit bulls, very athletic, you know, larger dog, and then a lab. Like, those dogs all need exercise, and they need interaction. And if they're not getting it, then, you know, they're going to, you're going to see destructive behaviors start to arise. So that would be, you know, the main thing. I would hate to, you know, I don't know what sort of barking device you hang on a fence. What, you mentioned something like that?
Yeah, they're somewhere between $50 and $100. You hang them within, you know, some of them are 30 foot, some are 50 foot range or so, 75 even. And they supposedly make a sound that you could turn it either way so the person hears it as well, or just the dogs hear, and hopefully they quiet down when they hear it.
Mm. And that would only work if they were outside.
Yeah, right. Unless you know, they got the collars too. You know, I guess you know about those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and those, I mean, it's really not, that would be trying to Band-Aid the issue, and again, the issue is, sounds like that they're pent up. Mm-hmm. So I would hate, you know, I would call it, you know, inhumane to not meet a dog's needs like that, and then to go and, you know, have some sort of severe consequence for doing what they kind of have no alternative to do, is just, you know, they've got all this energy that needs to go somewhere. So I'd hate
to. It's really interesting when we think we love animals so much and we surround ourselves with them, but we don't really love them if we're treating them like that.
Well, it's about, and it's also about recognizing what animals need, what dogs need as animals. A lot of people think, with the best intentions, think that all their dogs need is affection. And it's, they need a lot more than that. They need that, especially that exercise, mental and physical exercise is a big one. You know, some sense of work. A lot of dogs don't ever have to work for anything, so then they're just kind of bored. And then we just sort of treat them like babies and love them and love them and love them and love them. And I think they're pent up and frustrated. And some dogs you can get away with doing that because of their energy level and temperament. But most dogs, I would say, you're going to start to see behavioral issues arise as a result of that. Lack of structure, lack of exercise, lack of stimulation. Mm-hmm. So they really need to be interacted with. They're not just, you know, a dog isn't, you know, obviously just something to get to hang out in your yard and just wait for you to come out and interact with it whenever. I mean, that's just, it's inhumane.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah.
Well, I would be barking too if I was locked in all day.
Yeah, like, I mean, education really... really is the key. And you know, I would be happy to talk to her if she wanted to call me. You could say, oh, I met someone, she'd be happy to talk to you or whatever.
Okay, but I'll give her your number. That might be great.
Yeah, so okay. Thanks for the call, though. It's a really good question.
Thank you so much.
All
you
right.
Have a great day there. Happy New Year.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
Yep, gotta exercise them, gotta work them. Some dogs more than others, but...
Absolutely. Well, you know, they have an inner monologue, an inner dialogue going on all the time, too, and they're thinking about stuff, and, you know, they need challenges just like we do to stay...
Yeah, they need to work. They've evolved, you know, been evolving with us for a long time.
That's right.
And the nature of the relationship has been one of work. Even little dogs, you know, they're smart, they're intelligent, they need an outlet for that, so...
If you've got a question for Julie, we'd love to hear from you on the show today by giving us a call at 425-373-5527 or toll free in Western Washington at 888-298-KKNW. That's 888-298-5569.
Thank you, Eric. The Dog Talk Show is brought to you in part by Wellness Pet Food. Wellness Natural Pet Food is one of our major sponsors, and we get to give away gift vouchers pretty much every week, $50 in Wellness Pet Food gift vouchers. This week is no exception.
Awesome.
So we'll be doing some dog talk show trivia later on in the show.
My favorite.
Yes, it is.
A little something in the throat there, but it is my favorite.
Yeah, and this is a different kind of a question as well, steering away from the breeds questions for a little bit. So actually, Darcy thought up of this question for this week's show. So we'll be asking that probably in the third segment. So stay tuned for that. We'll be giving away $50 in wellness pet food gift vouchers, which is excellent. I have just a quick announcement about I have a obedience class starting January 13th, Wednesday night, 7:30 to 9 at the Barking Lounge, which is downtown Seattle. In the South Lake Union neighborhood, it's on the corner of Dexter and Republican. And that's a basic behavior and obedience class, and it's great for new puppies. If you've gotten a new dog this fall and it's time for some formal training, and also for older adopted dogs who you're trying to transition into a new environment, or if you're just feeling like you need to clean up your dog's listening. It's a really great class. Basic obedience, start to finish. It's got quite a bit of depth to it as far as really learning how dogs think and understanding the thought process behind the training, not just getting them to automatically sit for treats and stuff like that, but really understanding the thought process behind it. So that's fun. I'm excited to start up classes again this coming Wednesday, January 13th at the Barking Lounge from 7:30 to 9. Class runs 6 consecutive weeks. So if you want to sign up for that or find out more about that, you can call the Barking Lounge, which is 206-382-1600. 206-382-1600. You can give them a call to register for the class. If you have any further questions about the class or anything training behavior related, feel free to email me, host@dogtalkshow.com. That's how you can get to me, host@dogtalkshow.com. And it's time for a break. We'll be back in just a few minutes with the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
Yeah, this is a story of famous dog. But the dog that chases its tail will be busy. These are clapping dogs, rhythmic dogs, harmonic dogs.
Wellness Natural Food for Pets uses simple, pure, authentic ingredients to create food you can trust to provide the foundation of your pet's well-being. All wellness recipes include lean meats, whole grains, fruits, and veggies with no meat byproducts, no wheat, no corn, no soy, or artificial preservatives. For an exclusive savings offer and to find wellness at a pet specialty retailer near you, visit wellnesspetfood.com/Seattle. That's wellnesspetfood.com/Seattle. Join Wellness on Facebook and Twitter today.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
Are you a doctor, dentist, or therapist? Have you ever wished you could take your dog to work with you? Visit healingallies.com to find out how you can train your dog to become a clinical therapy dog in your office or clinic. Clinical therapy dogs provide people with joy, affection, and emotional support in healthcare settings. Research shows that therapy animals have positive psychological and physiological effects on clients and patients. Meet your newest staff member, your dog. Visit healingallies.com or call 206-406-1455 for more information. That's healingallies.com.
Does work feel like a puzzle and you don't know where all the pieces are? Or you have all the pieces, but you don't know what the picture should look like? Then join me, Denise Rubin, 30-year vet in human resources. I've sat in the boardroom and in the executive offices, and I'll share with you the trials and tribulations of the workplace and how together we can solve the workplace puzzle one piece at a time. Tune in to Work Does Matter, Fridays from 1 to 2 in the afternoon on Alternative Talk 1150. Visit my website at workdoesmatter.com.
Camley Electric Incorporated is a full-service electrical contractor. From simple home repairs to full remodels, new construction, and small commercial projects, our qualified electricians do it all. We pride ourselves on our workmanship and professional standards, delivered with value in mind. Located in historic Ballard, Camley Electric serves the greater Seattle metropolitan area. Licensed, bonded, and insured. Camley Electric welcomes all inquiries about your electrical needs. Visit the website KemleyElectric.com. That's K-E-M-L-Y Electric.com.
Body, mind, and spirit. Alternative Talk 1150 covers it all.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. So I was just driving home today. Actually, I was on my way home and then going back out. And I saw an ad on a bus that was there's been a lot of ads I've noticed out. And I think one of our guests mentioned that somebody was donating like a huge amount of money nationally for ads. Nonprofit animal-related ads or something like that. I can't remember who that was. But I've been seeing a lot of ads. I saw one on a bus that sort of caught me off guard. Much like how the Bodies exhibition billboards catch me off guard. Because it's like kind of graphic and I'm just kind of driving
along. There's
a
naked guy. Oh, he's really naked.
Yeah,
no skin
he's
even.
Not just naked. It's just, you know, especially when the bus like pulls up next to you and you don't know, and then you look over and it's like, whoa,
right.
I wasn't expecting that. Nor did I ask to see that. But this one's a little different because this one, I'm really glad the ads are on. It's hard for me to stomach because it's just so sad, but it was about reporting animal abuse and, you know, just bringing awareness about that and getting people to really, you know, take action if they see something going on that shouldn't be.
Absolutely.
And, you know, that kind of goes along with something that's been in the news recently about the King County Animal Control Shelters and the question of them closing. And there's quite a bit sort of swirling around about that. And there's an article in yesterday's Seattle Times about that situation. And I guess perhaps they are not going to close the shelters. They're looking for alternatives to this. But part of the article says that former executive Kurt Triplett made headlines in September when he proposed that King County would close the shelters and eliminate the Animal Care and Control Agency, which provides service to 32 cities. The announcement followed a Seattle Times report that showed that dog attack victims waited days or weeks and months in some cases for a response from King County Animal Care and Control. And I guess the solution that they came up with, they say it seemed like an easy fix. King County would close its animal shelters this month and hand off those duties to nonprofit animal shelters like the Humane Society. And it sort of goes on. The article's on Seattle Times Northwest Source website if you want to read that full article. But apparently now the new King County executive, Dow Constantine, will ask the county council for more time to develop a regional plan for handling animal control shelters and licensing. It's not funny because of the seriousness of the issue, but it just seems ridiculous, I guess, to me that they think that closing the shelters and that the nonprofit shelters would be able to just take on all of the extra dogs and cats that end up in the shelter.
Yeah.
Because I think it said in the article somewhere that they take in like 10 to 12,000 animals a year.
Well, it seems like the nonprofit organizations are already as burdened as they
yes.
can be, you know.
Yeah. I mean, so for them to think that the nonprofits could handle.
Right.
I mean, it's not like they have extra room. The problem in general is that there is not enough room everywhere, pretty mm-hmm. much. It's not like, oh, these shelters have plenty of room, so they can just take on the burden.
Yeah.
So the good news is that they are that they're looking into some other alternatives, and there's a Facebook site, actually, or Facebook page that says something like "Stop King County Animal Control from Closing" or something like that on Facebook. I'm going to try to get that up, but you can look at that, find that on Facebook, and it kind of keeps you posted on what's going on and what you can do and
so
who to write.
That's a group you can join on there.
Yes, you can join this group. It's called Stop King County from Closing Animal Control and Shelter. And there's some, you know, efforts that people are putting on. Something was called the Season of Hope, that King County Animal Control was an off-site adoption effort that ran throughout the month of December, and that they had a lot of success through that. And so that's a good thing to check out, and you can join that group and find out what you can do to help support the efforts, because, you know, closing down animal control is the last thing. I know it's hard with the economy and everything and lack of budget, but we really need our shelters and our animal control officers out there protecting our animals. I mean, I have dogs of my own, and I can't help but not, you know, there's a part of me that definitely feels that sort of pain of knowing that there's so many dogs out there that don't have homes and that get put down every year just because they don't have a place to stay,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, the animal abuse that happens, that we need officers going out there and following up with that kind of stuff. So, I, you know, there's got to be ways that we can put our heads together and raise money to fund this and actually improve it rather than shut it down, whether it be through licensing. I mean, I would certainly be willing to pay an extra, you know, however much, $20 or whatever on the licensing. And if they got everybody to do that, then that would be a large amount of money. Every dog owner, I think that most people would be happy to sort of take that on. You know, everyone who has a dog and loves a dog would probably be willing to help out all the other dogs that aren't as fortunate.
Maybe that's something somebody could start an initiative based on.
Well, I think I read that there's a city, I don't remember which city it was, but in Washington, where I think there was only like 1/5 of the population were actually licensed.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the question would be actually getting owners to license their pets, and so that they get the revenue from that. But it was like, Okay, we'll start, you know, start ticketing people if they don't have the licenses.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't necessarily want that to happen, but if that's what needs to happen.
Well, it may be a campaign of awareness, because I think a lot of people don't even realize that they should license their animals.
Yeah. Yeah. And how to do it.
Especially
and it's
if
really
they're
easy. Yeah. you know, and there's also like, it seems like I've had a few people talk to me recently about doing this as a topic on a show, and I need to do some research before we really delve into it. But it's around aggressive dogs and aggressive dog laws and incidences that are being reported, and, you know, situations that I've heard of where, yes, I mean, technically a dog has shown aggression, but aggression is a natural part of how dogs communicate. And we need to, to some extent, we need to let dogs be dogs without slapping a lawsuit on them. You know, if a dog growls at a child or snaps or something like that, I don't think that necessarily qualifies them as an aggressive dog that needs to be ticketed and labeled, or what, malicious dog, I think is what it's called. And it's just seems like all of that energy that's being put into that, which it's like misdirected resources almost. I just had a good idea, Eric. Remember how a while ago I talked about leash laws and retractable leashes and how they're actually illegal?
Mm-hmm.
because retractable leash, like the leash law says that dogs need to be, I think, on an 8-foot leash.
Yeah.
And retractable leashes extend out to like 26 feet or 20 feet or 16 feet or whatever. And I personally don't like retractable leashes because for a number of reasons, I don't think they're safe to use in a city. I think that people forget about the dogs oftentimes when they're on a retractable leash and then they have their dog 25 feet out in front of them. And then that dog goes and runs into someone, runs over to someone else's dog who's on a 6-foot leash. And that's not fair. And
right.
It's a big annoyance for me. So I would support ticketing retractable leashes extending further out than 8 feet.
There's things you can do to raise revenue.
That's my opinion. Because, you know, there's a lot of stuff that happens. Dogs get bit and all that kind of stuff because the dogs just have way too much space. In an urban environment, we really need to be careful about space because there's not a lot of it. So even at, like, you know, a park where you're walking your dog, it's not an off-leash park, kind of keep your dog a little bit closer in, especially if it's the type of thing where your dog is dragging you on a retractable leash. That's my favorite.
Yeah. True enough.
That should be an extra fine. Well. Hey, you know, that's my opinion. And just as, you know, some awareness. I mean, the thing is, I used to use retractable leashes because when I lived in an apartment and I took my dogs out to go potty and it gave them more space and to just go to the bathroom. And it, you know, it was fine for that purpose. But, you know, if you're walking around like Green Lake, for example, where there's a lot of people and a lot of dogs, and you've got your dog just sort of pendulating out in front of you, you know, and they have like a 15-foot radius, then it's not respectful of the people around you, and it's not safe either. So
definitely,
that's my point. So go to Facebook, and you can also go to Seattle Times online and read that article about animal control, and you can go to the Facebook page and check that out. You can join that group, Stop King County from Closing Animal Control and Shelter. That's the name of that Facebook group, and you can kind of check out the conversation around that. So when we come back, Eric, we're going to do Dog Talk Show Trivia.
Whoa!
And we'll be giving away $50 in wellness pet food gift vouchers to the first caller who can answer the question correctly. If you'd like to write down the number so you have it ready to go, it's 425-373-5527 or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. We'll be back in just a few minutes with the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
Lily comes when you stop to call her.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist, and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a 2-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
Wellness Natural Food for Pets uses simple, pure, authentic ingredients to create food you can trust to provide the foundation of your pet's well-being. All wellness recipes include lean meats, whole grains, fruits, and veggies with no meat byproducts, no wheat, no corn, no soy, or artificial preservatives. For an exclusive savings offer and to find wellness at a pet specialty retailer near you, visit wellnesspetfood.com/Seattle. That's wellnesspetfood.com/Seattle. Join Wellness on Facebook and Twitter today.
We've got exciting news for Alternative Talk 1150 listeners. It's a new day with Don Stansfield is moving to a new time and will now be heard 4 days a week. Starting January 4th, The Don Stansfield Show, It's a New Day, can be heard Monday through Thursday, 4 to 5 p.m. That's right, even more of Don's inspiring conversations and guests. Mark your calendars. We're excited. Starting in January, The Don Stansfield Show, every Monday through Thursday, 4 to 5 p.m. It really is a new day.
The Natural Pet Pantry offers everything you need for feeding your pet a raw food diet. Most health issues pets face today are a result of poor diet. The Natural Pet Pantry makes raw, cooked, and custom meals for your pets, all prepared locally using only grade A meats and vegetables. Located in stores around the Puget Sound, the home delivery is available from Stanwood to Gig Harbor. Visit naturalpetpantry.com or call 206-248-1079 for more information on how to add health and longevity to your beloved pet's life. That's naturalpetpantry.com.
Are you a doctor, dentist, or therapist? Have you ever wished you could take your dog to work with you? Visit HealingAllies.com to find out how you can train your dog to become a clinical therapy dog in your office or clinic. Clinical therapy dogs provide people with joy, affection, and emotional support in healthcare settings. Research shows that therapy animals have positive psychological and physiological effects on clients and patients. Meet your newest staff member, your dog. Visit HealingAllies.com or call 206-406-1455 for more information. That's HealingAllies.com.
Feed your mind and your body and spirit will follow. Alternative Talk, 1150.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. And it's time for Dog Talk Show Trivia. Once again, the question this week is, there is a local author, a woman named Alexandra Day, who writes children's books about a Rottweiler. What is that dog's name?
That's a tough one. I really don't know on that one.
The number to call, 425-373-5527, or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569.
Julie, tell them what they'll win.
They will win $50 in wellness pet food gift vouchers.
Awesome.
$50. Sweet. Wellness is good stuff. So give us a call, 425-373-5527. Or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. If you can tell me the name of the dog who a local woman writes about in a children's book. There's actually a series of children's books about this Rottweiler. The author's name is Alexandra Day. What is that dog's name? What is that Rottweiler's name? And it's
I'm completely stumped.
Were you here for the I think I did a question a couple weeks ago with a Rottweiler in Christmas Vacation.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Yep. Snots.
Snots. Yes. Good old Snots.
Yep. He's a Rottweiler. I think the question was, what breed of dog is Snots in Christmas Vacation?
So I don't think I'm giving anything away by saying that this particular Rottweiler in the children's book is not named Snots.
The dog, here's a hint. The dog's name is not Snots.
That's right. Not Snots.
Local woman writes a children's book, writes children's books about a Rottweiler. What is that dog's name? If you know the answer, give us a call, 425-373-5527. Or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. First caller to answer the question correctly gets $50 in wellness pet food gift vouchers. Once again, the question, local woman named Alexandra Day writes children's books about a Rottweiler. What is that dog's name? All right.
Well, I'll give those phone numbers out one more time while we're waiting for someone to play Dog Talk Show Trivia. 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527 or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-KKNW. That's 888-298-5569.
I read a story on another news. I think this was from the Vancouver Sun in BC. There was a dog that saved a BC boy from a cougar. Angel, the dog who saved an 11-year-old boy from a cougar attack, will be spending another night in a Chilliwack Veterinary Hospital after receiving extensive surgery for a fractured skull. The heroic 18-month-old golden retriever was expected to be released Tuesday But the boy's mother said that the vet wanted to keep her overnight for observation. I guess during the surgery for the fractured skull, in fighting a cougar, they also discovered that Angel had a heart murmur. But it's a pretty amazing story. This dog, like, jumped in between this boy, the 7-year-old boy, and this cougar who was, I guess, about to jump on it or something, and fought the cougar and got dragged under a porch. But then the official officer came and killed the cougar, dog's okay.
This dog is literally this boy's guardian angel.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Literally. It's amazing.
We've got someone on the line to play Dog Talk Show trivia.
All right.
We've got Julie calling from Sammamish.
Oh, Julie from Sammamish. Welcome to the Dog Talk Show.
Well, thank you.
So do you know the name of the dog in these children's books?
I'm pretty sure the dog is Carl.
Very good.
Thank you.
The title of the book is Good Dog Carl. And
Carl goes to the park, I think.
Yeah, he's got all sorts of adventures that she writes about. And there's a website, I believe, is gooddogcarl.com. You can go check out more about that. It's a very popular series of children's books. And a local author who writes about her actual big male Rottweiler, Carl, who loves kids. So, well done. We're going to send you back to Darcy and get your mailing information and get you out those wellness pet food gift vouchers.
Well, thank you so much. Our pets will really like that.
What kind of pets do you have?
We have 2 dogs. We have a golden retriever and a little Jack Russell Terrier.
Terror.
Yeah, it's easy to call the little dog that.
Well, good. Well, they will enjoy those gift vouchers. Thanks so much for listening.
Thank you. Enjoy your show.
Good. Thanks.
I got to say, it's worth visiting the Good Dog Carl website just to see the pictures of Carl, because he looks pretty adorable.
He's so cute.
And he's massive.
Yes.
They've got him sitting next to a kid, and he's as tall as the kid.
I think he weighs like 107 pounds or something like that, and he's just a big ham.
He's a big dog.
Yeah. Very, very cute. Yeah, there's all these all of these little pages that you can click on the website, gooddogcarl.com. Carl's page, which tells you all about Carl, and which, by the way, we were talking about human names for dogs.
Mm-hmm.
This, I think, is a good one.
Carl, yeah. That's a good name.
Especially for a 107-pound Rottweiler.
Yeah, he looks like a Carl.
And he's just looks so sweet. I'd love to meet him.
And the good thing about a name like Carl for your dog, of course, if you're like me, any of your pets don't just get a name. They get multiple variations on that name.
Yes.
So you could call him Carlton.
Yes.
Or Carl's. I don't even know. I don't know exactly where I was going with
our dogs,
but, you know.
Our dogs get variations on their names that aren't even really variations on the name. It's just something completely different. I mean, they get... Yeah, Telly, our new cattle dog. She's got some variations on her.
Like, give one out.
Well, like something as simple as like Telly girl.
Uh huh.
But the way that we say it in a stupid dog voice ends up sounding a little different.
Right. Well, I do the same thing with my cats, and like for instance, one of my cats named Fergal. He also gets called Ferg and Fergie, and but his other nickname is Porkchop.
Yeah. Yeah,
because he's a little chunky.
Yeah, and we've got names like Levi, our other cattle dog. He's got a bunch of nicknames. One of the most frequently used ones is Wowie.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even... Oh, Cow. I think Darcy's mom started calling him Cow. No. Cowie? Because he's a cattle dog, so we were calling him a cow dog.
Uh-huh.
So then she was calling him Cowie, and then I think we started saying Wowie Cowie. And then now we call him Wowie, and it's like, how did
right, right.
But it just happens. Anyone who has dogs or pets, as mm-hmm. you said with your cats, knows how that happens.
Absolutely.
And it's nice. I think it's an element to having a pet that's, we sort of let go of our ego a little bit and get silly. Because I'm not at the point yet, Eric, where I will where I will give an example of one of my dog voices for my own dogs. I'm not quite there.
We'll look forward to that on a future show.
Yeah, maybe it'll be my resolution to try to get to that point. But anyway, but it's nice that we can just kind of let go and be silly and be playful. And, you know, the nice thing about pets is that they don't judge us. At least they don't let us know that they're judging us. So.
Yeah, not too harshly.
Not too harshly. So well done. That was a good job answering that dog talk show trivia question. And thank you to my fabulous call screener and partner, Darcy, for coming up with that question. That was a good one. Because I was about to do another breed name thing, but she intervened. So we will be back in just a few minutes. We're going to take another short break, and we'll be back with the Dog Talk Show. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Are you a doctor, dentist, or therapist? Have you ever wished you could take your dog to work with you? Visit HealingAllies.com to find out how you can train your dog to become a clinical therapy dog in your office or clinic. Clinical therapy dogs provide people with joy, affection, and emotional support in healthcare settings. Research shows that therapy animals have positive psychological and physiological effects on clients and patients. Meet your newest staff member, your dog. Visit HealingAllies.com or call 206-406-1455 for more information. That's HealingAllies.com.
Kemmley Electric Incorporated is a full-service electrical contractor. From simple home repairs to full remodels, new construction, and small commercial projects, our qualified electricians do it all. We pride ourselves on our workmanship and professional standards, delivered with value in mind. Located in historic Ballard, Kemmley Electric serves the greater Seattle metropolitan area, licensed, bonded, and insured. Kemmley Electric welcomes all inquiries about your electrical needs. Visit the website KemmleyElectric.com. That's K-E-M-L-Y Electric.com.
Do you want to improve your health, take less medicine, or avoid medication at all? The naturopathic physicians at the Institute of Complementary Medicine, with over 60 years of experience, will help you on natural, practical solutions for better health. Ready for your annual checkup, feeling stressed or anxious, or have a chronic problem like allergies, diabetes, or sleep issues? Call 206-726-0034. Or go to www.icmedicine.com to schedule an appointment. We're located on First Hill in Seattle, and most insurance is accepted. 206-726-0034. icmedicine.com. Natural medicine at its best.
I'm Joy Turner, host of Talk With Your Animals, now on Thursdays at 1 p.m. I take your calls and talk with your animal companions about anything you'd like to know from them. You can also talk with your loved ones, both human and animals, on the other side. Tune in to Talk With Your Animals Thursdays at 1 with me, Joy Turner. Thanks for listening.
On the AM band at 1150 and on the FM HD band at 98.9 HD3. Alternative Talk 1150.
You ain't looking for a hound dog, crying all the time. Well, you ain't never caught a rabbit, and you ain't no friend of mine.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. Gosh, it's a nice day to go for a walk with your dog, Eric.
That's so true.
Hopefully our caller who called in earlier at the beginning of the show, hopefully his neighbor is listening to the show right now.
I hope so, yeah.
What a fine day to take your dog for a walk.
Well, I think every day is a fine day to take your dog
yes.
for a walk, but especially when it's great like this, when it's warm and it's, you know, it's nice and it's not raining or snowing on top of you and you're not freezing.
Yeah.
Perfect. No excuses.
It's pretty mild out there.
I'm half tempted to take the cats for a walk in this weather.
Oh, I don't know about that.
All right, you're probably right.
Some people walk their cats.
I've tried it, but the thing is, I think you really got to train them from kittenhood to do that. If you don't, they just go, "What the are you doing, pal?"
Yeah.
"What the what?" That's what they say. And then, you know, they don't go.
Well, an interesting difference between dogs and cats, if you look at their evolution, mm-hmm. is that, well, and also in sort of in the context of their evolution living with people,
mm-hmm.
but also looking at how they are now, that dogs, if you have a litter of puppies and the dogs are not necessarily interacted with by humans mm-hmm. from a young age, they can still be
socialized.
Social with people.
Uh-huh.
But with cats, even though they've been living, I think cats have been living with people for about 4,000 years now. Mm-hmm. Dogs have been living with people for at least 14,000 years wow. and potentially over 100,000 years.
Uh-huh.
But with cats, you have to, from kittenhood, socialize them with people.
That's what they say, yeah.
Otherwise, they're basically, like, they revert back to kind of their wild nature,
mm-hmm.
you know, each generation. It's not something that's really stuck like dogs, which was just which makes sense to me, but an interesting difference if you look at it, like, that's why they're so, you know, feral cats are really hard to adopt when they're captured, because they're pretty much wild, and cats have a little bit of quite a bit of a different social structure than dogs ancestrally. Cats are really more lone hunters, whereas wolves are pack animals. So,
mm-hmm.
But we trained a cat when I worked up in Bothell at the Academy of Canine Behavior, which is where I did an apprentice program years ago and where I got my start training. We raised a kitten with our dogs and trained him to do some basic things. I mean, he wasn't running through.
You can train cats. It takes, I think, a lot more patience than with your dogs, but you can do it.
We used a dropper bottle of milk.
Okay.
To get him to kind of like lure him into positions and
uh-huh.
teach him how to sit and how to beg. And I guess they have those toilet seat covers where you can train a cat to go to the bathroom in the toilet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you ever done that?
I have not done that. I'd like to do that, but I haven't tried it yet. And I'm afraid that I'm going to be, for lack of a better term, flushing money down the toilet by buying that, you know.
Yeah.
With cats that are kind of set in their ways, you know.
Yes.
You never know.
You never know. Some cats are more, I think, open to that kind of thing than others.
Yeah.
Similarly with changing food. I mean, some cats are just...
My cats like variety.
Picky. Yeah. So that's good.
Yeah.
Well, I was noticing sort of a trend in, you know, I talk to people a lot about food and nutrition and all that kind of stuff. And I recommend high quality foods from a small, locally owned natural pet store rather than getting any food from like a grocery store or something like that. And I'm also a big fan of raw and cooked food, which is very minimally processed. So even the best dry foods on the market, I think, are missing something, and the, you know, nutrients get taken out in the processing that you then have to kind of add back in. And you can either do that with supplements or you can do that with actual food.
Yeah.
And there's a local company that advertises on this show and whose food I feed to my pets called the Natural Pet Pantry.
Mm-hmm.
And they make a raw food diets, a whole range of different formulas. And they're great, locally owned. I've toured the facility on several occasions. It's probably cleaner than my kitchen in there. And it's a very trustworthy and a very fine product. Actually a very competitive price as well. And something I just wanted to share, too, is that what I've noticed is that dogs who have never had raw food before can often, like, you offer it to them and they're like, what?
What the what?
What am I supposed to, right. am I supposed to eat this? It's in my bowl.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they get used to this, like, dry pellet of type food or canned food or something that's cooked. And certain, you know, tastes and smells a certain way. And then you go and you offer them, like, you know, ground raw chicken and vegetables. And, you know, I just watched a client of mine has two little Shih Tzus that I've been working with. And we offered them raw food for the first time this morning when I was there working with them. And they both they were sort of hovering around their bowls. And then they'd kind of go in and sniff. And you could see it was like, it felt like they were contemplating trying it,
mm-hmm.
but then they were like, I'm not sure. And and so then we picked it up and went and worked with them for a little while and then came back and put it down again. And I think I had put in a couple pieces of Bit of Love treats into food, just like some tiny little specks of of treat so that it had a familiar smell. And then it was like once they got a taste of it and started eating it, then it was like gone. But it's interesting. It's like the brain, it's like the brain doesn't recognize it as food or something like that. And I've seen this happen on several occasions where the dogs are like, what is this weird stuff?
Right.
And then once they eat
it. Well, that's like kids, too. You make something new for dinner for them. What is this? I'm not going to eat this. Then if they have it, then it's like,
well,
hey.
It's kind of good.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah. Well, and in this case, it's actually super good for them.
Absolutely.
You know, I think once they just get used to that. That happened with a dog that we fostered for a while, too, where we offered him the food. And he had, I think he was a puppy mill rescue. And so he was, his health was not that great. And, you know, I don't know what I don't know what they feed them there, but in addition to white bread to make them gain weight, I don't know what else they eat. But anyway, we fed him raw food and he did the same thing. He was like, I don't know about this weird stuff. But then like after like a day or two, he was just like psyched about it and started feeling better and infections were clearing up and all that kind of stuff. So just so you know, when you're switching food, it's always a good good idea to go slow, change one thing at a time. You know, a lot of times people get education about pet food and all of these things that they can do to enhance the food, like salmon oil and yogurt and pumpkin and supplements and all this kind of stuff.
Well, it's also okay to mix in some of the old food if you're weaning them off something.
Yes. Well, you actually would want to sort of phase them out of the old food and phase them into the new food, especially if the dog's not used to change or has a sensitive stomach. And you always want to go slow because and do one thing at a time so that if the dog does react, you know what they've reacted to, whether that be good or bad. So it's interesting sort of along that vein too, just anytime you're trying something, just to be patient with dogs because it takes some time for them to adjust, whether you have a, you know, a new dog in your household or, you know, you've adopted a dog or whether you're switching a food, especially when you know it's a better food choice, to just give it some time and be persistent with them. I think we kind of give up too fast sometimes and miss out on a lot of opportunities because we just don't give the dogs enough time to adjust. So consistency is probably one of the most important things, in any sort of transition to help a dog adjust, is to give them some consistent structure so that they kind of get into gear, I guess, faster in the new environment. So just a little tip. Just to mention again, I have a basic obedience class, basic behavior and obedience, starting January 13th, Wednesday, a week from today. Wednesday nights from 7:30 to 9 at the Barking Lounge, which is downtown Seattle. Corner of Dexter and Republican. Their website is barkinglounge.com if you want to check out their website. That class starts January 13th. If you want to register, you can call the Barking Lounge to do that. 206-382-1600. 206-382-1600. And that's a basic behavior and obedience class. So if it's your first training class with your four or five month old puppy, or whether maybe it's a 2-3 year old dog that you've adopted, or even an older dog that you're just wanting to kind of get back into the groove of it and give them something to think about. It's a great class. We have lots of fun and it's just jam packed with information. So again, that's this coming Wednesday, January 13th, 7:30 to 9. And that runs for 6 weeks, 6 consecutive Wednesday nights. So hope to see you there. If you have any questions about that, you can always send me an email, host@dogtalkshow.com. And I've been talking about iTunes for a few months now, and we're getting close. So the shows are currently archived. All of our past shows are archived on the website, which is dogtalkshow.com. You can just click on the podcast page, and it'll pull up all of the shows and also with a brief description about each show so that you can see who the guest was, if there was a guest, and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, I got my iTunes gift card ready to go. I got one for Christmas. So.
Well, they'll be free
Oh, well.
It's a podcast.
Well, awesome.
So you can use your iTunes. You can use your iTunes gift card for.
But I'll go on there to download
songs.
The Dog Talk Show, and then I'll get some other songs.
Yes, some songs about dogs, right?
Yeah.
For the new
I'll
year.
I'll do the search on the Metafilter or whatever that they have, and I'll find some more Dog Talk Show songs. And of course, we're always looking for suggestions for dog songs. So if you're out there listening and you've got a recommendation for a song that's about dogs that we haven't played that. We should play, then please.
Or if your dog has a song
or
that they like to
sing
to, or you want to dedicate a song to your dog, we would love to do that. We've done that on past shows as well, and I did that quite a bit for my dog, Chewy, who I had to put down a few months ago. So he was getting a lot of songs dedicated to him. So you can get in touch with me for any of that stuff, host@dogtalkshow.com. And that brings us to the end of the show today. We'll be back next week. We may have Dr. Michael Fox back with us next week, so we'll be back Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m.
The Fantastic Mr. Fox.
That's right.
By the way, I saw that movie this last week.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it lives up to the hype.
Well, Dr. Fox is also fantastic.
That's right.
So hopefully he'll be here with us next week. Thanks for listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.